This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Malik Yawmiddin. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa ilayka almushtaka wa bika athiqatu wa alayka attuklan wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته ودعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين إن شاء الله تعالى. This is a continuation of our regular tafsir class where we go through the Surah Al-Baqarah. And we are still continuing on with the journey of the Yahud and the Banu Israel for a very long portion of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just speaks about the Banu Israel. And we get so deep into their story that we sometimes forget why Allah is telling us this. Last week we were talking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned how they believed, the Yahud especially, during the time of the Prophet, and even before and after, they believed that they were special, that they were the chosen people, that they didn't have to follow the final Prophet, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that they were the only people that were going to Jannah, by the way. I believe they still have, that they are the only people that are going to Jannah. Later on, you will find, as you go along, they will say, لَن يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُدَى. Only people that will enter Jannah are the Yahud. And we already mentioned a verse where they said, لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. The fire will not touch us except for a few days. And they believed that they will only be punished for those few days that their people worshipped the calf and they committed the idolatry during the time of Moses alayhi salam or Musa alayhi salam. So this is what they claimed. And then Allah taught us that is not how you go to Jannah based on who you are or where you're from. And we mentioned the verses where Allah said that you go to Jannah through iman and amal salih, through belief, faith, and righteous deeds. And you go to hellfire through sayyi'at, sin, especially when that sin surrounds you and encompasses you, meaning that you have no way out. And that is the one that dies upon disbelief, rejects the truth, and lives a sinful life. Then a question was posed to the Yahud. If you're so sure that you're from the people of paradise, if you're so sure that you're going to Jannah, then why don't you wish upon yourself death? Right? فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And we mentioned the two tafsirs in this, that one was, if you are so sure you're from the people of the paradise, why are you so insisting so much on staying alive? And this is why we mentioned historically that they were not people that tend to be people that were not engaged in battle or anything like that. They were very careful. They love to live long lives and all that stuff. And also, Allah is alluding in this verse that they know that they are upon falsehood, but they're too arrogant to admit it. Number one, they knew Prophet Muhammad was a prophet, but the moment they found out he's an Arab, they couldn't handle that because they felt like their people, their lineage should have been the final prophet. So this is why they rejected. And we spoke about that, and then Allah spoke about how much they are involved in the dunya and they loved life. Here Allah is telling us another example of how they rejected the truth. We saw a few of them already. We saw that first they denied the prophet outright. We saw that some of them believed, but then they lied about that. And that was the beginning of the munafiqun, the hypocrites. So some of the Yahud, they came to the prophet and said, yeah, you're a prophet, we believe you. وَإِذَا خَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. And when they went back to themselves, they would say, no, we're not upon their faith. So there was a lot of things that were happening during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and only a few actually became Muslim. Only a few actually became Muslim. As opposed to the Arabs, most of them would become Muslim. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in verse 97, قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلَ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَهُدًى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, say to them, whoever is an enemy to Jibril, For indeed, Jibreel is the one that has sent down the revelation upon your heart, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, with Allah's permission. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, confirming that which came before it, which is the Torah, وَهُدًا, and a guidance, وَبُشْرًا, and a glad tiding for the believers. So what is this verse talking about? This verse has what is known as a sabab nuzul. Sabab nuzul means a reason of revelation. What you'll find out in the Quran is certain verses, there is a story behind it. Something happened, and then Allah talks about that incident, right? So the incident is in reference, the verse is in reference of something that occurred, which is why books of tafsir are very important. They will tell you why, or else you'll kind of get confused of the siyaq, what's being talked about. So what is the reason of revelation for this surah? What happened? The scholars mentioned a few incidences. They have all the same meaning, although they might have different in who's saying what. But it was that the Yahud came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they challenged the Prophet and they asked him a number of questions about this and that and a few questions. And among the questions they asked him was, "Oh Muhammad, if you are a prophet, which angel brings you revelation? Which angel brings you revelation?" And that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "It is angel Jibreel that brings me revelation." And they said, "Well, there you have it. This is why we can't believe you. We can't believe you because angel Jibreel, we don't like him. As a ummah, as a nation, as the Bani Israel, we do not like angel Jibreel. Why? Because angel Jibreel is known for bringing punishment. He is known historically, he has punished our people, this, that, or the other. Now, if it was Mikael, then maybe we would be able to believe you." Another ridiculous claim from the Yahud. And they said, "Well, this is why we can't believe you. The problem is Jibreel." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is answering this. Another narration that is mentioned in some of the books of tafsir is that it was actually Umar ibn al-Khattab that spoke to them. Now Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, he had a neighbor or someone that he used to talk to that was from the Yahud, from the Jewish community in Medina. And he one time asked them this question, and he said to them, "If one of you wants to tell the truth, if you want another person to tell the truth, what do you ask them to swear by? Like, what do we say? Swear by Allah, right? If I don't swear by Allah, this happened, right?" So he said, "What do you guys swear each other by?" And then they said, "We say, swear by the one who gave Musa the Torah on Mount Tur. Swear by the one who gave Musa the Torah on the Mount Tur." Who gave Musa the Torah on the Mount Tur? Allah. So this, and when someone says this to us, it's very difficult that person will lie, right? It's a heavy oath. So then Umar al-Khattab said exactly that to them. He said, "Swear by the one who gave Musa the Torah on the mountain of Dur. What do you guys believe about Muhammad?" And they pointed towards their Sayyid, their leader. And he said, he's most definitely a prophet of Allah. And then, so why don't you believe in him? And then they mentioned the excuse of, because his revelation comes from Jibreel, and we do not like Jibreel. And we, as a Yahud, we do not like Jibreel. Now, what's interesting is, ikhwani fillah, Jibreel is the one that gave wahi to Musa, right? In the story that you know, Waraq ibn Nawfal, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam first received revelation, Khadija took him to his cousin Waraqa, and he says to him, "فَقَدْ جَاءَكَ النَّاسُ الْأَكْبَرُ الَّذِي جَاءَ إِلَى مُوسَى." In the Hadith in Bukhari, he says, "The great angel that came, or that came to Moses, came to you." So the one who came to Musa is the one who came to Prophet Muhammad, the one who was with Isa and who came to all the messengers. Who brings revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which angel? Angel Jibreel. So it is truly a weak excuse. And Allah then says, "Qul," say, "Man kana aduwan li Jibreel," whoever is an angel, whoever is an enemy to Jibreel. Now know that it is Jibreel who is the one that brought the Quran down to your heart by Allah's permission. So, this Quran that you're reciting of Muhammad was brought down by who? By Jibreel. In other words, when they say we don't like Jibreel, who sends Jibreel? Allah. Does Jibreel do anything else than what Allah tells him to do? So in other words, if I bring you a message, or if I do something, and you dislike it, and everything I do, I'm being told by someone else. In actuality, you dislike who? The one sending me, right? So when the Yahud say, we don't like Jibreel, who are they truly saying we don't like? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal'iyadu billah. Allah saying, if they are saying we are enemies to Jibreel, فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ. He is the one that brought down the Qur'an to your heart with Allah's permission. So Angel Jibreel is the one that used to bring down the wahi to the prophets. Angel Jibreel, ikhwani fillah, is among the greatest angels. We love him. And we love all whom Allah loves. And we love Allah's messengers. And those messengers are from the angels and from the prophets. Yes, the angels are also messengers. Inna Allah astafa rusul min al-malaikati rusulun wa min an-nas. Allah chose messengers from among his angels and the people. And they are the awliya of Allah. They are worshippers of Allah. The angels love worshippers, and the worshippers love the angels. And what are the angels made out of? They are made out of nur, of light. And what are they known for? They're known for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what do? They never fall into sin. And they never make any mistakes. They only do what they are told. Allah mentions about the angels, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ. They do not disobey Allah in what they are told. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. And they do what they told, right? They do as they are commanded. This is who the angels are. And Allah calls them عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ. They are noble slaves, noble servants. Allah mentions they are كِرَامٍ barara, right? They are noble. Allah praises them in the Quran. They are praiseworthy creatures. They come to the gatherings of khair. They dislike that which we dislike. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said one time, when you're coming to the masjid, there should not be a foul odor coming from your mouth. If man akala al-basar wa thum, whoever eats raw onions and raw garlic, let him not come to the mosque. فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَتَأَذَّى مِمَّا يَتَأَذَّى بِهِ الْإِنسَانُ كَمَا قَالَ. For indeed the angels, they dislike that which the humans dislike, right? So, ikhwani fillah, the malaika, we believe in them, we love them, we love those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and look what they are saying. They are saying we are adu, we don't like, we dislike, we are the enemy of Jibreel, wal'iyadu billah. How can we be the enemy of Jibreel when Jibreel is the one bringing down the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Abu Hafs Masjid Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. On top of that, the revelation given to Prophet Muhammad, was it rejecting the Torah? Or was it saying, confirming the Torah? It was confirming it. It was saying, yes, the Torah was of Prophet Musa. It's correcting errors. But in general, it's not even going against what you have. It is confirming. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. On top of that, this revelation that Jibreel brought down with Allah's permission is what? It is hudan, guidance. The Quran is a guidance. It guides you to and along the straight path. Hudan. وَبُشْرَى. And it is a glad tidings. The Quran is a glad tidings to who? لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. To the believers. لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. To the believers. Again, one more time. قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلِ. Say to whomever says Jibreel is an enemy to us, or whoever is an enemy to Jibreel, فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. For indeed he has brought this Quran down to your heart by Allah's permission. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ. Confirming what came before, which is what? The Torah. وَهُدًا. And a guidance. وَبُشْرَى. And a glad tithing. لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. For the believers. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ. Whoever is an enemy to Allah. أعوذ بالله. How can you be an enemy to your creator? مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ. Whomever is an enemy to Allah. وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ. And his angels. Whoever is an enemy to Allah, وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ. And his angels. وَرُسُلْهِ. And his messengers. Which angel did the Yahud deny? They denied angel? Jibreel. Which prophet did they deny? They denied prophet? Muhammad and prophet? Isa alayhi salam. مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Then Allah mentions وَجِبْرِيلَ. And Jibreel. وَمِيكَالَ. And Mikal. But they said they actually liked Mikal. So why did Allah include it in here? Because if you reject one prophet, you reject all of them. And if you deny one angel, you deny all of them. So it doesn't matter. Because the angels and the prophets are carriers of the messages of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Denying them is a rejection of Allah. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ They're not denying you, O Muhammad, but these wrongdoers, they are rejecting Allah's ayat, Allah's signs. So it is a denial of Allah, right? This is what's happening here. And Allah is saying, whoever is an enemy to Allah, to his angels, to the prophets or messengers, and to Jibril and Mikael. Interesting fact, ikhwani fillah, when I was telling you guys, if you guys remember, Israel, what does Israel mean? We said Israel was the name of which prophet? Prophet Ya'qub. Prophet Ya'qub's name was Israel. And Allah calls him that. So Israel comes from Prophet Ya'qub. So when we say the people of Israel, it means the people of Ya'qub, the descendants of Ya'qub, right? And his eldest son used to be called Yehuda. The eldest son of Ya'qub was called Yehuda. And which among his sons was a prophet? Prophet Yusuf, right? So one of the reasons why they say that the Yehud are called Yehud is because of this reason. And the other reason I mentioned as well, but it's because of the name Yehuda being the eldest son, and Allah knows best. Al-Muhim, Ya'qub is Israel. He is Israel, and his descendants are called the children of Israel. This is why they're called the children of Israel. So that's where it comes from. What does the word Israel mean? Isra means servant. Il in their language means Allah. Servant of Allah. How do we say servant of Allah in Arabic? Abdullah. So they say Jibril and Mikael, or Mikael here, is the same thing. Jabr or Jibr would be servant. Il would be Allah. So the name of Jibril means servant of Allah. And similarly to Mikael, Jibril, Mikael, Israfil, all of that. So we know who Angel Jibril is. He is Al-Muwakkalu Bil-Wahi. He's the angel that is in charge of revelation. Who is Mikael? Mikael is the angel whom Allah has given the authority over Al-Ghayth, rain, right? Rain. And who is Israfil is not mentioned here. These three angels, Mikael, Jibril and Mikael are mentioned in the Quran. How many times is Jibril mentioned in the Quran? Three times he's mentioned in the Quran, Jibril. Mikael, I believe, is once or twice. And so also the Prophet, in one of his du'as, he used to say, Allahumma rabba Jibra'ila wa Mikaila wa Israfil. Right? He used to say, Father as-samawati wal-ard, alimu ghaybi wa shahada, anta tahkum bayna ibadika fima kana fi ikhtalifun, ihdini lima ikhtalifa fihi min al-haqi, bi-idhnik. He used to make this dua, and he used to mention, oh, the Lord of Jibril and Mikael and Israfil, right? Israfil is the angel that will blow the trumpet to announce, or to bring back the souls and announce the day of judgment. He's not mentioned this ayah, though. Man kana aduwan lillahi, whoever is an enemy to Allah and his angels and his messengers and Jibril and Mikael. Jibril and Mikael are among the angels. Angels are already mentioned, so why are they mentioned again? Look at the verse. Whoever is an enemy to Allah, the angels, the messengers, Jibril and Mikael. Jibril and Mikael, are they not angels? So why are they mentioned again? They are mentioned again for two reasons. One, the conversation of the Yehud was about them. They said, we reject Jibril. Oh Muhammad, we can't follow you. Jibril brings revelation. So Allah is saying, if you're an enemy to Jibril, so it's being emphasized on. Who did they say we would like? They said, if Mikael brought you the revelation, we would have probably accepted it. So this is why Allah is mentioning specifically, because they were part of that conversation. Another reason is to emphasize on how special and stellar they are. It's like when someone tells you, everybody came, including this person. Everybody, is he not included in everybody? But you mention it specifically because, okay, he's the most important person, right? So Jibril and Mikael, of course, are considered among the greatest angels. Another point to remember, ikhwani fillah, is that never become an enemy to someone that Allah loves. Never become an enemy to someone that Allah loves. The Prophet said in the Hadith al-Qudsi, or Allah says in the Hadith al-Qudsi in Arba'een, Allah said in the Hadith al-Qudsi, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Whoever becomes an enemy, shows animosity, right, is an enemy towards one of my walis. And what is a wali? A wali is someone that is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone that is what? Close to Allah. Someone that Allah loves. How do you become a wali? How do you become a wali? You become a wali through two things. It's mentioned in the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Indeed, the walis of Allah, those who are close to Allah, those whom Allah protects and loves, they have no fear. They're not afraid of anything. And they will not be sad, for Allah will give them Jannah. Who are they? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who have faith. Those who have what? Faith. وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, and they used to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want to become a wali of Allah, have those two things. Have faith in Allah and fear Allah Almighty. This is how you become a wali. Nothing else. إيمان and taqwa. مَنْ كَانَ لِلَّهِ مَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا تَقِيًّا كَانَ لِلَّهِ وَلِيًّا. Whoever is a believer and is a taqi, he will become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A wali means a saint. If you will, a common translation of wali is what? A saint. So Allah says, whoever shows animosity, becomes an enemy to my wali, فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُ بِالْحَرْبِ, I will announce that I am in war with him. Well, Allah is at war with you. So if you hate angels, Allah is at war with you. If you dislike the prophets, Allah is at war with you. The scholars, the great men and women in Islam that were close to Allah, that were worshippers, be careful. Never show any animosity towards them. Love them because Allah loves them. Does that make sense, everyone? So Allah says, "Man kana aduwan illahu," whoever is an enemy to Allah. How did they become an enemy to Allah? They only showed animosity to Jibreel because Jibreel only brings that which comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَالَ. And then Allah said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ, indeed Allah is عَدُوٌ, Allah is the enemy of who? Of لِلْكَافِرِينَ, the disbelievers. Allah is an enemy to disbelievers. Here Allah called the Yahud disbelievers. He called them kafirin. Often Allah calls them Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book. Just because they are called the people of the book, and they are given that status because of their history, because of the many prophets they were sent to, because of the Torah that they had, and they are given that special place, they are known as the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, doesn't change the fact that they are still kafirin. Allah says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ, indeed Allah is an enemy to the kafirin. What is a kafir? The one who rejects the truth after it comes to them. The one who tries to hide the truth and rejects it, disbelieves in it, disregards it, that person, Allah is the enemy. Allah is the enemy. The Yahud, in this chapter, they know he's a prophet. They know because it said so in their book. They rejected it. Then they saw signs to prove he's a prophet. They still rejected. Then they made claims that don't make sense. Jibreel, because Jibreel brings revelation, we're not going to accept you. Allah is saying, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. All of this that you're doing, all the things that you've done, it just shows that you guys are clear rejectors of the truth. You are kafirin. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ, O Muhammad, we have revealed upon you. وَلَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ, and indeed, O Muhammad, we have sent down or revealed upon you آيَاتٍ, signs, بَيِّنَاتٍ, that are clear. Clear verses and signs. These verses are alluding to the Quran. وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا, and the only people that deny it are الْفَاسِقُونَ, those who are the fusaq, those who rebel against Allah's command. Those who rebel against Allah's command. الَّذِينَ يَخْرُجُونَ عَنْ طَاعَتِهِ. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, Allah is speaking to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because our Prophet now might be wondering, why do they constantly reject you? They've seen the signs. Why are they rejecting you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is answering it and saying, and indeed we have sent down these ayat upon you, and they are clear and they are detailed, and none disbelieves in them. None disbelieves except who? Except the fasiqoon. So it's not your fault, O Muhammad. You have clearly displayed the message. You have explained it clearly. The message is true. It is clearly understood. But because of them, they rejected it, because of their fisq, because they are people that are rebellious in nature. They rebelled against Musa, they rebelled against Isa, and they rebelled against you. They are fasiqun. A fasiq, ikhwani fillah, you'll find many usages of this word, fasiq. Fasiq sometimes is used for the Muslim as well. For the bad Muslim, fasiq is used. Allah says in the Quran, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. If a fasiq comes to you with a speech with news, then ensure you check if it's true or not. Why? Because he could be what? He could be lying. So the word fasiq is sometimes used for the believer that is sinful. It is used for the believer that doesn't follow the truth. It is also used for the disbeliever. So it's interchangeable for the disbelievers and the believers that are sinful, right? And you can only understand who it is meant by looking at the context. So now, who are we talking about? We're talking about the Yehud that rejected the Prophet, that lied against him, that made these claims against him. So fasiqun is not referring to the believers, it's referring to a non-disbelief in the message, except who? Except the fasiqun, right? Those who rebel against the truth and don't follow it, the Yehud in this case. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them many signs, including the fact that they had their own book telling them they rejected. They had the Quran, they rejected. They saw the Prophet, they rejected. All of this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains even more. أَوَكُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهَدًا نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ أَوَكُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهَدًا. And Allah said, is it not the case that every time they make a promise, every time they make a covenant, كُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهَدًا نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ, a group of them throws it to the side. A group of them breaks the promise. A group of them breaks the covenant. And this happened with the Prophet ﷺ. When he came to Medina, there was a charter that he made, an agreement that they wouldn't transgress upon each other, that each community would leave the other community alone, but they constantly broke it. They broke it and they broke it and they broke it. And Allah is mentioning this and saying to them, is it not the case? In other words, O Muhammad, don't worry too much about these people. First, they mentioned that they don't follow you because of Jibreel. Then they have shown the clear signs, yet they disbelieve in them. Is it not the case? أَوَكُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا, that every time there is an ahd, there is a promise, there is an agreement, نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ, a group among them throws to the side, بَلْ, rather, أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, most of them do not believe. The problem is in their hearts, they don't believe. Because they don't believe, because they don't have faith, they don't keep their promises. Ikhwani fillah, this is a message to all of us. Allah attributed their breaking of promises to their lack of faith. If you're an individual that breaks promises, please ensure you're going to do this. Wallahi, I will do it, brother. You break it. Please, when do we meet? This time. Are you sure? Yes, you break it. If you're someone that's constantly breaking promises and going back on deals and doing something like that, then this is a lack of faith in you. مَنْ لَا عَهْدَ لَهُ لَا دِينَ لَهُ, they say. Whoever does not have, cannot keep promises, cannot hold on to agreements, then that person's faith is little. That person's iman is low. A sign of high iman is that you'd keep your agreements. And the biggest agreement we have is with who? With Allah, to worship Him, right? To worship Him. This is the biggest agreement, the biggest ahd. So stick to that ahd, right? And stick to the uhud and the agreement you make with your fellow human beings, Muslims or otherwise. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally said in verse 101, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ, and when there came to them a messenger, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ, and when a messenger came to them. Where does the messenger come from? مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ, confirming that which was with them. What did they do when a messenger came to them? نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ, a group among the people of the scripture. What did they do? Nabada, they threw away. They threw away what? Kitab Allah, the book of Allah. Now Allah says, so they threw away the kitab. In other words, they rejected it, right? But look at the description Allah gives. Allah says, Nabada fariqun min utul kitab kitab Allah, a group among the people of the book, when the Prophet came to them with the truth, confirming that which they had with them, the Torah, نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ, a group among the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, they threw away the book. They rejected it. But Allah says, where did they throw it? وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ, behind their backs. You know, there is an interesting point here. You know, if I'm done with my phone, I want to throw it. If I throw it this way, there's a possibility I might pick it up, right? There's some semblance of hope maybe there. You know, you could say, you know what? Yeah, he threw, he got angry, but he's going to pick it up later. But if I throw it this way, that means khalas, I'm done with it, right? وراء Allah says they threw the kitab وراء ظهورهم behind their backs. كأنهم لا يعلمون as if they don't know the value of what they had, as if they don't know what's in the Torah, as if they don't know the promises they made to their prophet Musa, that when the final prophet comes they will follow. They did this كأنهم لا يعلمون, as if they do not know. Subhanallah. So ikhwani filah, today we took the ayat that mentioned what was some of the reasons why they rejected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said because of angel Jibril. They said we can't follow angel Jibril, but if it was Mikael we could. Then Allah mentions that if they are an enemy to even one of Allah's messengers, it is as they are an enemy to all of them. There's no distinction. We don't distinguish between the messengers, the prophets, and the angels, right? All of them we accept. We love all that Allah loves, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love us. Then Allah mentions that the problem isn't in the revelation or the way the prophet was giving the revelation. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ. O Muhammad, indeed we have revealed upon you clear signs. وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. And none can disbelieve in those signs except those who rebel against the truth, who deny it, who outwardly reject it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them again. أَوَكُلَّمَا عَهَدُوا عَهْدٍ. Isn't that the case? Every time they come and they make a promise, and the Prophet ﷺ, he made agreements with Banu Qurayza, he made agreements with Banu Qaynuqa', he made agreements with Banu Nadir. These are all tribes of the Yahud. And each one of them broke those truces, broke those agreements. And Allah mentions, بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Rather, most of them do not believe. And when a prophet came to them, Prophet Muhammad, مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ from Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ, confirming that was with them, نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِنْ أُوتُ الْكِتَابِ, a party among the أهل الكتاب, or a group among the أهل الكتاب, they threw away the kitab. Where? What direction? وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ, behind their backs. كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, as if they do not know. So now that they have thrown away the book, they disbelieved and disregarded the messenger, there is a universal law, إخواني في الله. This is always happens. When you move away from the haqq, where do you go? To the falsehood. If you leave the haqq, you go to the falsehood. If you refuse to follow good, you're going to follow evil. If you don't busy yourself with good, you're going to busy yourself with haram. If you don't use your time wisely, you're going to use your time, right, in things that are not wise. Similarly, now that they rejected the following of the final messenger, and they rejected the following of the book, who did they follow? Allah says in the following verse, وَاتَّبَعُوا, and they followed, مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينَ, that which the shayateen was giving out. You reject the prophet, who are you going to follow? The shayateen. And this following verse, we can't go into tonight, إخواني في الله. This verse is, I'm going to give a brief introduction to verse 102, and we're going to leave it at that. Verse 102 is talking about the Yahud. Among the things that happened was Prophet Muhammad, he mentioned Prophet Sulaiman. He mentioned Prophet Sulaiman, the son of who? Prophet Dawood, right? Solomon, the son of David, or Sulaiman, the son of Dawood. And the Yahud said, wait, what? Sulaiman? Muhammad. Sulaiman is not a prophet. He's not a prophet. He was a sorcerer. He was a magician. That's what they said. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disprove that in the following verse. And he will talk about sorcery. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about how the Yahud themselves revived the concept of sorcery and sihr and the rulings of it. And those who practice sihr, first of all, that sihr is real, and that those who practice it are not Muslims. And how Prophet Sulaiman is free from it. And yes, we know Prophet Sulaiman, he had many miracles, and Allah gave him dominion over many of Allah's creation, including the jinn. But that does not mean that he was engaged in sorcery and stuff like that. This following verse speaks about that, inshallah ta'ala. We will cover that next week. We will conclude there, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. Hadha wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's spelled differently. I'm not sure. I wasn't sure if you could hear me, so I put the mic on. So we have something called Isra in Mi'raj, the night journey, right? Subhana alladhi asra bi abdihi. Glorified is the one who did the Isra for his servant. The word Isra is to journey at night. It's different than the word Isra because there's a Hamza in one, not the other. The Isra that we mentioned of Israel, it is not even, if we go with the opinion of Ibn Abbas, it's not even an Arabic word. It's not an Arabic word to begin with, whereas Asra is Arabic. So that's one of the differences. So Israel isn't, and it's not Arabic. It was Hebrew, or even maybe it wasn't before Hebrew, but it was, so when we say Il means Allah and Isra means Abd, this was a translation given by Abdullah ibn Abbas of this name, which wasn't an Arabic name. But when we say Isra and Mi'raj, specifically mentioning the night journey, and the Mi'raj is the ascension. Barakallahu feek. قدام وراء خلف and وراء. Is there a difference between خلف and وراء? Yeah, there is a difference, but most of the time they mean the same thing, right? So for example, خلف is behind you. وراء in this context also means behind you. So وراء is the opposite of, for example, قدام, which is in front of you. It is sometimes in certain context, قدام does not mean just in front of you as well, right? But yeah, so خلف and وراء is the same meaning. You know, in Arabic you have sometimes two words that refer to the same thing, right? So it's like that. So خلف ظهري is behind my back. وراء ظهري is also behind my back, right? I do believe that خلف is usually used literally behind me. But wara could mean not literally, right? So I left them behind me, not literally, but I left them where they were before, for example, right? Does that make sense? Yeah.